All righty, boys and girls, it's 6:07, and this, of course, is the Bobby Mac Bonus Hour, and great to have you aboard today because, of course, you get a free bonus. All you have to do is, no, I'm not going down that road. Somebody will believe me. Did you hear what Bohannon said? You get a free bonus for listening to this hour. You get the bonus of improving your knowledge and your reasoning powers. That's your bonus, okay? There's no bonus, okay? Anyway, we just hope you've enjoyed the discussion today, and it's not over yet. Of course, got another hour to go here as we continue to wind our way through the various issues of the day. I noted before the break that there is a school for new members of Congress. First, let me simply remind you that you are listening to 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307, and we'll get back to words and thoughts and offerings from therein. But if you ever wondered about how you become a member of Congress besides once you get elected, and of course you get elected in November, and you take office the following January 3rd, and everybody's sworn in and the like, in that period of time, the interim, of course, you've got to assemble a staff. You've got to learn what committees and subcommittees you're on, where your office is. You've got to find a place to live. Alexandra Ocasio-Braniac has already found difficulties in that regard, calling Washington, D.C. an expensive city. Yeah, although coming from New York City, I don't think it's quite that expensive, actually. But that's something else. Maybe Alexandria didn't study that much in the way of economics at Boston University. As one texter noted, she also wants to make everything free with no plans on paying for it. Guess she didn't learn much about economics either. That would be true. That would be very true. So, anyway, back to this school that exists out there. There is a bipartisan program for newly elected members of Congress. It started in 1972, and more than 700 current and former representatives from both parties have attended the program since its inception. And this is going to be held December 4th to the 6th in collaboration with the Congressional Institute, the American Enterprise Institute, and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. It's bipartisan. Now, this is in addition to the school they hold on Capitol Hill. This program is designed to ensure thoughtful, bipartisan discussions on a variety of public policy issues. Now, don't laugh. 10 past 6 here. Don't laugh. That's the idea. When they say the agenda is designed to ensure thoughtful bipartisan discussions on a variety of public policy issues, maybe that's overstating the case. The agenda is designed to maximize the remote possibility of thoughtful bipartisan discussions on a variety of public policy issues. And that's to the good. That should happen. Will everybody involved pretty much ignore that? Yeah, probably, but it's worth making the effort, and I commend those at the American Enterprise Institute, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and the Congressional Institute for doing this. December 4th to the 6th, and they have experts and practitioners from a wide range of backgrounds covering topics, including the federal budget process. That is, we don't make one. I wonder if they teach them about continuing resolutions. They discuss key issues in domestic and foreign policy. Yeah, okay, foreign policy, congressional reform, and current issues related to technology. The program provides guidance on a host of practical issues, including setting up and staffing congressional offices, which is a process. You've got to have certain key people, administrative assistants and legislative assistants and the like. Staff offices back in your home district. And if you've got a big congressional district, you know, some of them cover a huge amount of territory, then you have to have branch offices. This program discusses best practices for media relations. There's a tricky one. And managing family work-life balance. Well, if you want to stay in office, you will shaft your family and devote time to the office. And I'm just being cynical but truthful here. Very few members of Congress who are successful have what would be called a good family life. The spouse winds up being both parents. It's just the way of the world. To stay in Congress, to do all that is required of you by your party, by your constituents, and by the necessity of raising money, it's a job. You wish you had a 40-hour week. Are you kidding me? You'll knock in 40 hours of work in maybe 3 days. People say that Congress doesn't work. They work very hard. They just don't always work at legislating. They're not certainly always on the floor, but if they're not on the floor, they're in committee sessions. If they're not in committees, they're in subcommittees. If they're not in subcommittees, they're meeting with constituents in their office, or they're raising money to get reelected. It is a back-breaking job. I'll guarantee you 99% of us could not keep up with our member of Congress, even if our member of Congress happens to be, let's say, 80, okay? You still couldn't keep up with them. You just couldn't. Anyway, the school teaches you all about this stuff. And the program has an opportunity for members to visit and tour the John F. Kennedy Library and Museum. Offers one of the few opportunities new members have to meet and get acquainted with colleagues from both sides of the aisle in a neutral environment. And again, is that going to take? No, you're going to wind up in heated disagreements once you actually become elected, and the lack of bipartisanship will be evident everywhere. But it's a good program. Based on feedback that program for the newly elected members of Congress has gotten, they anticipate many lasting friendships and great working relationships beginning at this gathering, which is, this, by the way, is held in Cambridge, Massachusetts every year. It's under the auspices of the Harvard Kennedy School. This is one such school. There are others. There is an official congressional school, by the way, which is led by members of Congress. And this is an optional one, but in the congressional one, they give you your little passes. You have a pass that'll let you vote. They have a pass that'll get you on the members only elevator. It'll get you on the subway that runs underneath Capitol Hill. There's a subway that'll take you from the office buildings to both houses of Congress, and the like. It's a worthwhile program. The bipartisanship, I guess some of it may take, not a lot of it, and it's a worthwhile effort, but I wouldn't want you to think that people just get elected and then they just go in and do it. No, you have to learn how to do it. Whether they learn well or in a cooperative fashion, that's another issue entirely, but I thought you should be aware of that. So Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, take notes, all right? My dear, you're going to need to take all the notes you can about the three branches of Congress. All right, Jimbo for Bobby Mac, 106.3 WORD. Time now is 6:15. Well, heck, here I am, and there you are. And fortunately, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, has made it possible for us to interface telephonically, which is still legal in most states. If you'd like to interface with me on the program, of course, and if you're a consenting adult, you can simply call us on the Ingalls Advantage talk line at 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, or you can text us at the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307-71307. Yeah, I've been taking a look at Congress as it is about to return to session on January the 3rd with the new members and all, and hopefully they've all gone to the little school for new members of Congress and have learned where to get their electronic passes to ride the subway and get on the members-only elevators and cast their votes and the like, learn where their office is in the various House and Senate office buildings. And once they get all squared away, then what? And again, the new people, of course, are not going to have much of a say-so. The new people are never a major factor in Congress, for all that we've talked about Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. The fact is that other than being quite pretty and obviously possessed of lots of media interest and media outlets and willingness to speak when she doesn't know what she's talking about. But she's going to be a backbencher, even in the majority party. She's a new member, and she's not going to have that much to say. She'll be assigned to a committee, assigned to a subcommittee or two, and hopefully she learns a lot. I'll be very curious as to see how she and some of the other new members go on their promises to not vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker. Some of them campaigned on that. There's one other person, I think, who's running against Pelosi, but I don't think she has any support. Pelosi needs 218 votes to be elected Speaker. And she's going to be certainly very close to 200 just right off the bat. She's the leader. She's already been elected the leader, although that is subject to yet again an election. She has influence. She's campaigned for a lot of these people. That's why you see speakers going out and campaigning for other members of Congress, not only because they want to be sure they're in the majority, but because they're building up chits, they're building up IOUs. And if you are in a tight race and running for Congress and the House Speaker or the leader of your party in the House comes and campaigns for you and you get helps you raise a ton of money, you feel a debt, an obligation. And, of course, once you do, in fact, get into Congress, you develop, as a general rule, a great desire to stick around for a while. And for good reasons. Because you can't get things done immediately. Most people are elected to Congress on an agenda. I'm going to do this and this and this. That's what they campaigned on. And they won't emphasize this fact, but voters should remember that they're going to try to do this and this and this. New members of Congress don't get anything accomplished. Unless it's something that the majority or that their own particular side has already decided to do, that you're not going to get something like that done. Unless you stick around, you build up seniority, you build up some power, and that's why people, even people who run on a platform of term limits, quickly discover that, let's say you're in the House for three terms, and you had this and this and this that you campaigned on that you were going to do. Well, you didn't get them done. You might have gotten this moved along a little bit, and the second this maybe a little bit, and the third this probably hasn't even been touched because you're new, and seniority counts for a lot in Congress. And so they realize that if they really want to push their agenda just one more term, and I may be in a position to do something. It's a legitimate issue because power is distributed in Congress based on seniority for the most part. And that's why members tend to want to stay around. So to please speakers of the House and leaders of your party in the House, you tend to vote for them for the majority leader. Remember me, I voted for you. Let's face it, Pelosi's the overwhelming favorite. She'll probably win. I think it's brilliant on the part of President Trump to say that Nancy Pelosi has earned this, and if necessary, Republicans will help her get that position. I think that is brilliant. A Democrat's going to be the Speaker. They've got the majority. I don't want a new face who might be an attractive face. It certainly won't be Alexandria Ocasio-Brainiac, but somebody, a relatively new face to the leadership. It could have been the person she beat, Joe Crowley. He would have been a possibility for the House speakership, but not now since she beat him. A new face does not have baggage, and a new face might be attractive or even relatively articulate. No, better Nancy. It's going to be a Democrat. Make it be Nancy. Remember, she will be the highest elected Democrat in the country. They don't have the presidency. They don't have the majority in the Senate. So the Speaker of the House, third in line to the presidency, by the way, behind Trump and Pence, will be Nancy Pelosi. I want the Democrats' face of their party for the next 2 years to be Nancy, her again, Pelosi. And I think President Trump is to be commended for a truly brilliant idea. And on the day of the vote, I think that certain Republicans should hold back their votes until the end, and it's all prearranged, that if it looks like Pelosi's in danger of not becoming Speaker, then these Republicans will, in fact, vote for her for Speaker. Now, she's already said publicly that she is going to be Speaker and does not want Republican votes. Well, she doesn't want to have to need Republican votes, that's for sure. But she might need them. And not that she would feel any sense of gratitude, mind you. I'm not suggesting that Nancy Pelosi would suddenly say, oh, well, five Republicans voted for me for Speaker and put me over the top, therefore I owe the Republican Party something. No, she won't do that. But it'll keep her as the face of the Democrats. And I want that going into 2020. I want every time people think of the Democrats, I want them to think of Nancy Pelosi and the money she's managed to make while in government, sometimes with contracts that just happened to go to her husband, who was exceedingly wealthy. Not that, of course, Nancy would influence public policy to enrich herself. Of course not. Anyway, I commend the president, and good for him on this. Texter says, do you think Cortez is dumb enough to vote yay on conservative issues? No, I think she's pretty much got that down pat. I don't think she will vote yay on conservative issues unless she is totally confused. And I wouldn't eliminate the possibility. But no, pretty much, if it's a liberal issue, she's going to vote for it. Free this, free that, free everything else. Free, free, free. And again, if you ever are in a discussion with somebody and they talk about, well, I want free college tuition, I want free health care, explain to them, using small words if at all possible, explain to them, it ain't free. You mean you want somebody else to pay for it. And you want someone else to pay for it through taxation, which is to say the coerced payment of other people. Now, I'll not pretend that you're going to make them understand, or if they understand that they're going to change their point of view, but at least that's the appropriate argument to make. It's not free. Free college education would only be free if the teachers taught for free, the administrators administrated for free, the buildings were built using donated materials by workers who built them for free and contractors who worked for free. There ain't no free, okay? Now, if we could just get someone to explain that to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 106.3 WORD at 629. Ah, yes, indeedy. Good to have you with us. Oh, we haven't, of course, talked about the Florida recount because the two Republicans won, of course. First, we had the new governor-elect DeSantis and now Rick Scott as the senator. So, and then again, the Republican also won the race for governor of Georgia, although his opponent is still suing over what, I'm not sure, since she admits that she lost. And, of course, Brenda Snipes has resigned as the Broward County Supervisor of Elections, which means that depending on when her resignation is in effect, a Republican will appoint the successor until the next election, either the current governor, Senator-elect Rick Scott, if her resignation is immediate, or coming up in January, then the new governor, DeSantis, would pick the replacement. Of course, keep in mind, we got Brenda Snipes, courtesy of Jeb Bush, who appointed her to fill out the unexpired term of a Broward County election supervisor in a gesture toward bipartisanship. This time, just pick a Republican, okay? Somebody honest, somebody competent, but enough gestures towards bipartisanship, all right? Just a thought. Anyway, on that front, it's nice to know that those things are returning a bit to normal, even though at one point the Broward County hand recount actually came to a grinding halt. If you missed this, but a bizarre story out of the county that couldn't count straight. Broward County had to stop the hand recount at one point over the weekend after lawyers discovered volunteers were counting the wrong ballots. Oh, my goodness. Lawyers from both parties pointed out volunteers were counting the wrong ballots. Hundreds of volunteers spent most of Friday sorting through some 32,000 overvotes and undervotes in the Senate race between Bill Nelson and Rick Scott. And then Broward officials, you may recall, Friday night announced they had finished their manual recount. Wrong answer. On Saturday, they started sorting through 22,000 undervotes and overvotes in the contentious contest for Florida Commissioner of Agriculture. That came to a grinding halt when lawyers found thousands of overlapping ballots, which clearly showed a vote in the agriculture race but were fuzzy in the Senate race. So, the Broward Canvassing Board Judge Deborah Carpenter-Toy told reporters it appears there may have been some ballots from yesterday mixed in with the ones for today. Oh, please. Anyway, 47 manila envelopes from the Senate recount were mixed in with the envelopes distributed for the commissioner's race. Out of 67 counties in Florida, Broward County always has trouble counting its votes during elections. So, anyway, but that was last week, and I just, before we forgot, I just thought we should be reminded once again of the legacy of Brenda Snipes. Just unbelievable. All right. 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, don't forget, if you're outside of our immediate listening area, go to 106.3WORD.com. I've listened to us before there when I was in other parts of the country. And you can listen anywhere. You can be in the Gobi Desert. You can be in the Sahara Desert. And if you've got internet service, you can listen to 106.3WORD.com. Worth doing, my friend. Worth doing. All right. 1-800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307-71307. We've got Richard calling in on his cellular this afternoon. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, Mr. Bohannon. Something that's been brought to my attention, and I guess I'm paying more attention to what they're saying on the news or vice versa, but these under and over votes, they're, in my understanding, they're basically trying to determine the intention of the voter. I mean, if you can't fill out a ballot correctly, the ballot shouldn't count.
Well, you're right. That's what they're trying to do, is determine the intention of the voter. And to be quite frank with you, Richard, I am with you. It's not that difficult. It is not rocket science. And if you really cannot fill out a ballot correctly, as far as I'm concerned, you drop that ballot. I'm with you.
You don't need to be voting. I mean, where are we coming from with this? Because I guess it was yourself or Bobby who's looking at a paper trail of votes. And is that where we would go if the state of South Carolina went to a paper trail? I mean, you know, you got these bureaucrats sitting there. Well, no, he really meant to vote for I know the hanging Chad stuff. And, you know, that's going to be a part of history, and I hope it stays that way. But, is there something that can be done by a voters' coalition to sue the state? Are there other states that do this as well?
Every state has a different method of voting, and if you have a purely digital method of voting, it can be difficult to have automatically a paper trail. Conversely, if you have a paper trail, which involves actually making a physical mark on a piece of paper, there will always be in a state as large as a state. I mean, there will be some people who don't quite manage to make a nice little X right in the box. And I understand that there are people who are sloppy. The goal is that even sloppy, unfocused, stupid people should have their intentions recorded if we can legitimately determine that, in fact, this is who they were trying to vote for. And that's the tricky part. I've seen some of these ballots, and it's not easy. It's often a judgment call, Richard. It really is.
Well, and that's the next question. I've never done it, but to my knowledge, the way I think up here, I could go down to the Greenville County Board of Elections and look at the last six elections and see how I voted. There's going to be some kind of document or some kind of
You voted. No, sir, just to correct you, there will be documentation that you voted. There should be no documentation of how you voted whatsoever. No. You vote anonymously. They will have a record that Richard did vote. That's the only record they're supposed to have. If they have a record of who you voted for, then there's something seriously wrong.
Well, because I thought I've heard, you know, read in different places that such and such voted for this person, voted for me. And, you know, generally I never tell who I vote for. But
no.
I mean, how would they find out information other than matter of oral record? I mean,
The only way you could possibly know how somebody voted was be if the person spoke up and said, I voted for Smith, and I'm afraid that they cast my vote for Jones. Then, of course, how would you know where your vote was cast for? Again, there's no way that anybody can legitimately do that. So that's the short answer, Richard. We have a clock on the wall that says that I should probably move to this break, and so I will, with thanks to Richard and his thoughts. That's a very good question. And no, nobody should know how you voted, only that you voted, for the record. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday and Friday. And it's now 6:45. Good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. We're wrapping up the Bobby Mack thing today at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and also, of course, 106.3WORD.com. Texter says, listen, do you stay while in the desert? Do you think my camel has Wi-Fi? I don't know about your camel. I'm simply saying anywhere in the world where you can get the Internet, you can get WORD at 106.3WORD.com. No, if you're someplace where you can't get the Internet, you're pretty much out of luck. But, hey, you know, I'm sure that you could listen to us in, for example, Antarctica. They have Internet down there. So, anyway, that was my point. Okay. Thank you. 106.3WORD, the Upstate's talk station, offers for your use the Ingalls Advantage talk line. I want to be sure you keep that in mind. 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And, of course, that old Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 713-07, 713-07. Got here a texter. When I was a child... says this texter, and I guess that this person knew about it from grown-ups. I assume they weren't voting at that time, but the texter says, when I was a child, there was a very large ink pad, and the voter was given a stick with an X or a plus, depending on how you held it, that they used to mark their ballots, and the square was very generous that you put your mark in. Katie and Danner. Okay, again, as I say, unless you went with your parents to vote, I'm not sure how you knew that. I had heard of something similar to that. I've never been around a place where there was a stick with an X on it. But that I can see the advantages to that. If you can aim the X in the square, I mean, it's like coloring inside the lines, which, of course, some people can't do too well either, but that's not a bad idea here. Another texter gets right to the point here. If you're too stupid to cast your vote appropriately, then you're too stupid to be allowed to vote. Yes, texter, in the best of all possible worlds, you are correct. However, if you start enforcing that and saying you didn't cast your vote appropriately, you're too stupid to vote, you open up a monstrous can of worms. You open up a 55-gallon drum of worms, okay? Everybody's smart enough to vote, goes that line of reasoning. And there'll be huge public outcries if you ever even stop to remotely think about whether or not somebody is smart enough to vote. I would agree, in the best of all possible worlds, you ought to have at least a minimal understanding of how we govern ourselves. But, of course, that would have prevented Alexandria Ocasio-Brainiac from voting for herself. So, yes, in principle, I agree with you, texter, but that ain't going to ever happen. Another texter says, Jim, at age 10, I was considered old enough to be an observer at my precinct, so I'm very familiar with the process. That is the aforementioned Katie and Danner. Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. An official observer that you were old enough to accompany somebody in there and stay out of the way and just watch. I can see that. An official observer? Interesting. That somebody that young would be allowed. I would think that if there was ever a dispute about what you observed, that there would be serious challenges to someone that young. But be that as it may. Anyway, good for you. I'm glad that young people are allowed to watch that. Let's see. Well, now this is an interesting text. It says, when I was in the Dominican Republic, WORD was not available. It was blocked there. I suppose that's quite possible. I mean, for example, I know that in some places, I don't know about the Dominican Republic, but in places like China, for example, there are serious government interventions as to what you can or cannot get through the Internet. And in China, for example, it might be that the government would reject a voice as independent and often as critical of China as WORD is, so that's possible. Yeah, I didn't allow for the possibility of government intervention there, but most places, okay, where you can get the Internet, you can get WORD in the form of 1063WORD.com, and at least it's worth trying. But that's interesting. Yeah, it can be blocked, certainly, and I can understand a lot of governments might not be too happy with a station like WORD, although I'm not sure why the Dominican Republic would be. When was the last time anybody on WORD had anything to say one way or the other about the Dominican Republic? Kind of weird, but I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Jimbo, maybe tell Ocasio-Cortez to follow Trump's lead and give us a little free representation in Congress. Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. The president, of course, does not accept a salary. I mean, he may accept a dollar a year. I think that there's something in the law that makes it necessary for you to accept a dollar a year. If I'm not mistaken, John Kennedy, who, of course, was independently wealthy, I think he took a dollar a year. When Kennedy was president, the presidential salary was $100,000. Today, it's $400,000 to be president, which, of course, is chump change for someone of President Trump's wealth. But free representation, no. Already, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez is complaining about the high cost of living in Washington. So that ain't going to happen. No, she's not going to serve for no pay. She's already made that abundantly clear. Besides that, it's only tax dollars. That's a phrase you better get used to with the Democrats in charge of the House. Get used to the phrase, it's only tax dollars. Four words. And while it may not be always expressed that openly, it certainly will be thought that much. It's only tax dollars. And, you're gonna see a lot of action that'll be based on that precept. Trust me on that. It's only tax dollars. And we taxpayers don't pay nearly enough anyway. You'll hear that thought expressed, at least in private. They're not going to say it in public, but they're going to be thinking it, okay? Fortunately, the House by itself can't do anything. Got to get past the Senate, where there's an increased Republican majority, and you'd have to get past a presidential veto if it got past the Senate. And, of course, that is in the hands of Donald Trump until 2020. It'll be curious to watch what the House tries to do. And they're going to try some pretty bizarre stuff, trust me on this. So we'll come back and do this again tomorrow to make sure that I finally get it right. And I thank you all for joining in today at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean this week. As we get set for Thanksgiving, hope yours is a great one. We'll talk again tomorrow. Time now, 3 before 7.